Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Hey, welcome to the Crossbreed Holster Studios. How you doing today? I love this part of my day, and I'm going to open the show today with a story that admittedly has absolutely nothing to do with guns. Absolutely nothing to do. Let me bring Shanto in here real quick. Sean, how you doing? You need my levels brought down? You okay there?
Yes, sir. Oh, just a little bit.
How's that? That a little bit better right there?
Yeah.
Doing a little bit better? Okay, good. Hey, Sean, this is funny, and I thought about you, and I don't know why I thought about you when I read this story today, but I think we've talked about him before on the program in some weird context. But do you know who the most interesting man in the world is? Right? You've seen those commercials?
Oh, yeah.
You know who I'm talking about? You know, the guy flanked by the two beautiful women?
Yeah,
with
the Dos Equis guy.
I don't always drink beer, but when I do, I drink Dos Equis.
Yeah. I saw a documentary about this dude.
Well, this guy, a lot of people ask the question, you know, who is that guy? You know, nobody knows who he is. He doesn't do... What do? You Google up the most interesting man in the world, and you come up with all different kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, there's a piece today on Breitbart News. Now, I do a lot of work with Breitbart. If you look at A.W.R. Hawkins' work, the great Second Amendment journalist at Breitbart, award-winning, by the way, journalist. You look at the bottom, and in his little bio, it says, you know, A.W.R. Hawkins is the Second Amendment journalist for and political consultant and analyst for political analyst for Armed American Radio. So I do a lot of work over there with Breitbart. I do a lot of research over there. And there's a story up there today. The most interesting man in the world got fired.
Oh.
Did you see this?
I didn't see that.
I thought this was hilarious. And let me read you a piece, just a portion of the piece, because I swear I almost fell off the Crossbreed Holster studio chair.
That's funny.
When I read this. Last October, Goldsmith. See, this guy's name is Jonathan Goldsmith. And he's got a new moniker, the least honorable man in the entertainment business.
Oh, man.
According to his former manager. So there's been a 9-year run with these commercials, right? But take a listen to this. Last October, Goldsmith was sued for breach of contract by the Gold Levin Talent Agency. Now, keep in mind, I want you to picture this guy, you know, this manly man there flanked by the two beautiful women.
Yeah.
The most interesting man in the world when you hear this. Which claimed that when Goldsmith hired the company in 2002, he agreed to pay them a yearly commission. Well, that would seem to make sense. We'll represent you, but you pay us X amount of your earnings that we get you. Right? That's how that works.
That's normal, yeah.
The agency alleged that he paid commissions from 06 to 09, but by November 14 had stopped paying. Brian Friedman, representing the agency, told the Los Angeles Times, quote, he is not the most interesting man in the world. He is just an average guy who doesn't bother to pay his bills, which isn't very interesting. So the most interesting man in the world has been fired for not ponying up. And I, you know, admittedly has absolutely nothing to do with guns, but it is humorous and I got a kick out of it. So I figured I would, I got a couple tabs open up there.
Hey, Mark.
I had a number of people sent me emails to that effect. Yeah, Sean, go ahead.
I tell you what, they could put Putin up there now.
Put Putin up there?
Yeah, he can do the Dos Equis beer deal.
Has he been in? Oh, yeah, he would be good for that, wouldn't he?
He would. That's who I think of every time I see that.
I don't usually drink beer, but when I do, you should do.
He don't want a dancing bear.
Oh, man, too funny. Anyway, I got a kick out of that. Hey, one other thing. Great program for you lined up. Coming up in the next segment and the remainder of the program is going to be Rob Pincus, one of the world's greatest trainers, good friend of mine. We have a lot to talk to Rob about with you, and you are going to learn an awful lot today from Rob. Before we get going, let me run down a couple of these stories I wanted to go over with you today. 21 people were shot, leaving two dead in a 20-hour period. You know where that is? That's in Chicago. So Chicago-style gun control, the Every Town for Gun Safety and the left's petri dish for what they want to do with the rest of the nation, which is Chicago-style gun control, we see how effective it is, and the lies continue because no one wants to talk about it except for us. We'll continue to bring it to your attention. A.W.R. Hawkins wrote a piece titled Chicago-style gun control, 21 people shot in 20 hours. You can take a look at that over at Breitbart News. I'll direct your attention over there. And in a let me quote just a little piece of this from A.W.R. Hawkins. It is worth noting that Chicago has a violence tax. How about that, Seattle? You're listening. that raises the price of every gun and bullet sold at retail, and it limits the number of gun stores and the locations of those stores. Plus, what the New York Times describes as handgun restrictions, which let city leaders, quote, according to the Times, get as close as they could legally get to a ban without a ban. That's Chicago-style gun control. Chicago's shootings are double where they were last year. And the Democrat-controlled machine that has controlled Chicago for generations continues the lie, blaming Indiana and Wisconsin for its failure to control its drug and gang violence problem. If the mayor, the Democrat socialist mayor, Rahm Emanuel, and all of the other socialists running the city of Chicago for generations into the ground were honest, they would tell you that if, in fact, their excuse of guns running freely through the iron pipeline from Indiana and Wisconsin were, in fact, true, Indiana and Wisconsin would also be sharing in the same level of carnage that Chicago is. And, of course, they are not, because the socialists are lying to you. But you're smart enough to figure that out. That's why you listen to Armed American Radio. I want to tell you a little story before we go to Rob in the next segment. And he's listening right now. And he doesn't know what I'm about to tell you. That's why he's listening to this segment. Not too long ago, my wife approached me. It was during the day. Oh, there's more content coming in, by the way, that I'm not going to be able to get to because there's just so much of it coming at us. That's what that ding is. I leave it on for your benefit so you can hear it. Ding! Oh, more stuff we don't have time to talk about today. My wife approached me a few weeks ago, as she does often. Hey, let's go to the range. Let's go shoot today. Okay, we can fit that in the schedule. She's the proud new owner of a new Glock 43. So, of course, she wanted to get some range time in on it. I love the little gun. Love the little gun. So I didn't mind going. I took a couple of mine, filled the range bag, threw some ammo into the bag, hearing, eyes and ears protection, threw the guns in. I carried mine. She was carrying hers, a couple other ones in the bag. We get over to the range. It was crowded. It was busy. Always is. We finally get a lane, and we're enjoying the Glock 43, running through some drills, having some fun. And there's a couple, I'm in lane number two, there was a couple to my right in lane number one. And I got to tell you, see, if you own a firing range, separate the times when you allow the AR-15s and the 308s and all the big booms from some of the pistols when you're on a very tight range with only about eight or so lanes. I don't care how long you shoot, how experienced you are, it's aggravating, it's annoying, you're trying to work with and teach somebody. And you've got some idiot next to you. And I'll let you determine whether or not he was an idiot at the end of the story. But it was difficult to concentrate. And the whole time I'm thinking, you know, this should be set for different times. Or maybe they ought to open another range. As many ranges do, by the way. Rifles over here and so forth. When I went back to the range bag, as my wife was continuing to empty out one of the magazines, I stepped back over to my range bag to grab some more ammunition. And that's when I saw the individual bonehead with the AR-15 pistol finish firing, take the firearm, turn the muzzle towards my wife in the stall next to her, and set it down. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. So I brought my wife back. She actually walked back away from the AR-15, which was a good thing. We had been there for about 20 or 30 minutes, and I had no idea this was the activity going on next to me. And it had been going on. They had been there for the full 30 minutes we had been there. So we made the decision at that point to just go ahead and leave the range. And I got an email, coincidentally, today. I mean, just 3 hours ago. And it reads this: Mark, sometime could you talk about indoor shooting range safety, especially about the lane dividers? Are they at all resistant to errant bullets from negligent shooters? Have you ever left a range because of the unsafe actions of other shooters? Thanks, Ken in Minnesota. I responded back to Ken and told him, wow, man, dude, you have ESP. I'll be telling a story about this very topic today that made my wife and I leave a range just a few weeks ago. I'll read this today to open the topic. Rob Pincus will be my guest, and we will discuss. Thanks for sending the email, Mark. So it was coincidental that that came in today, but it definitely required my attention. And we have Rob Pincus on the air with us, back now from Munich, Germany. München. I guess that's how they say it in Germany, where he was working, as he always does, spreading his wealth of information and knowledge, not just across America, but around the world. There's more content coming in. When we come back, we'll talk to Rob Pincus about that incident on the range, how I should have handled it, could have handled it, what I didn't do, what I could have done, and what they, more importantly, should have done on the range. We'll be right back.
I don't think I need to tell you this, but I'm going to anyway. When it comes to concealed carry, a smart shooter is a prepared shooter. And going to the range and shooting at a target just isn't enough. While training is important, you need something more. And that's why 135,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry magazine. To pick up where training at the range leaves off, expect life-saving information on every page, every issue. Whether it's unbiased gun and gear reviews or real stories of self-defense, from real people who carry concealed every day. You'll stay up to date on the latest training drills and laws regarding your right to carry your firearm. And for a limited time, when you start your subscription, you'll automatically be entered to win one of four brand new guns. But this won't last long. So go to the number one of the number four guns.com right now to begin your subscription and claim your chance to win your dream gun. That's one of four guns.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a Crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
Hillary Clinton plans on riding into the White House on the backs of women, but this won't be the first time she used women to get ahead. Her Clinton Foundation pays key women 63 cents for every dollar key men make. Men also make up her top 8 highest paid employees, and she paid her female Senate staff 28% less than men made.
Say that again.
Her Clinton Foundation pays key women 63 cents for every dollar key men make. Men also make up her top 8 highest paid employees, and she paid her female Senate staff 28% less than men made. If you're a woman, don't pay attention to what Hillary Clinton says. Pay attention to what she pays. Put an end to Hillary's war on women.
Say that again.
Put an end to Hillary's war on women.
Paid for by Ameripac. Not authorized by any candidate
or candidates committee.
Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Stay thirsty, my friends. I don't usually pay my creditors, but when I do, I shortchange. For whatever reason, I find that story absolutely hilarious.
You know why he ain't got no money, dude?
He certainly hadn't been paying anybody. Why is that?
Because he's been working on that tan. That dog, dude, he has a tan better than mine.
Oh, man. He's going to have to go away somewhere. He's going to have to get out now that information's out. He's not the most interesting man in the world. He's just an average guy who doesn't pay his bills. Oh, that's funny. You're going to see all kinds of funny stuff about that on the internet. Hey, let's go over to Rob Pincus real quick. Rob, out in the Western headquarters, right, Rob? You out there in Colorado today?
I am. I'm sitting here. I got to be in Florida relatively soon, so I guess I got some driving ahead of me. We're going to launch the tour in a few days, but I am sitting at the Western HQ right now. And I got to tell you, Mark, I was a little disappointed. I thought for sure that you were just having a really fancy and fun introduction for me at the beginning of the first segment.
The interesting man of the world. Hey, listen, no, I know you pay your bills, brother. I can't. Did you, for some reason, Rob, I don't know why that struck me as funny, but you know the commercials?
Sure, yeah.
Who doesn't? I mean, what a way for this whole run. That's like the cavemen in Geico. You know, you finding out something you didn't want to find out about those guys. They were classic commercials. It was just funny. I thought the whole thing was funny. We're going to see some interesting internet memes about that for sure. I'm pretty sure. Rob, so tell us, this the tour start. You got the vehicle wrapped. You got the lay. There's more content we don't have time to talk about. My mom, can you really talk about this for an hour every week? Well, you've heard three content dings as we've been on the air just now that probably won't have time to talk about. Rob, you got the vehicle wrapped. It's ready to go. Sponsor logos. What are you doing? You heading from the Western HQ in Colorado and driving down to Florida in the next few days?
I'm going to run out to Western Colorado. So I'm going to go down to San Juan County, down where I spend time with working with the sheriff's office down there. So I'm going to be down there for the weekend and then just kind of bolt right across the U.S. to get to Florida in time to launch the class. First class, as has been our tradition, is scheduled to be at the St. Augustine's Ancient City Shooting Range, ICE Training Company's home range. And that'll be on the 18th. So we got some video work. We're doing some other things. I may pop in and say hi to the Gander Mountain Academy guys in Lake Mary. Gander Mountain Academy, of course, is back as a sponsor for the 2016 tour with a bunch of other great companies. People can check out our social media to see who all they are. And, of course, pay attention. I'm sure we'll be talking about it over the next few months as the tour continues across the country.
You know, that would be a great opportunity to bring the show live. I was supposed to be down in Florida last week. And I'm just going to go ahead and say this on the air. That might be a great opportunity for me to get down there and maybe broadcast that show from the Ancient City Shooting Range as you kick the tour off. Maybe we can do the daytime show down there during the day while you're out there on the range. That would be interesting. Let's chat about that.
And you're overdue for some range time with me. So
I am overdue with range time. So that could work very, very well. We're going to discuss that during the break and off air. That's the most interesting story in the world today.
Like I said, Brad, as far as I'm concerned, there's an opening for me to take this position over officially instead of just, anecdotally.
I think it would be great.
Except Dos Equis doesn't make delicious ciders.
No, that's my point. This is the opportunity for Crispin, Magners, Strongbow. If you're listening out there, this is your opportunity. Sweep in, scoop me up, most interesting gentleman in the world.
Strongbow, there you go. Okay, for those of you who know what we're talking about, getting a little bit sidetracked here. Okay, so we'll leave it with this. The tour is kicking off. You're going to be heading down there. You kick the tour off on the 18th, Ancient City Shooting Range in St. Augustine. Beautiful place. I'm going to assume the class is full. Is there any room? Can you take any more?
What's interesting is we've got five classes going, and I can't tell you which ones, but if people go to personaldefensenetwork.com, click on the training blog, and take a look at the 2016 training tour calendar, or, of course, at any of my websites, look at my calendar, they're going to see a bunch of classes. There are still openings. We run vehicle classes, classes for two people interested in armed defensive tactics. when they're working together. We have the regular CFS classes, and we have the advanced classes as well. I think there's a rifle class. So there's a lot of opportunity to train with me, a lot of other instructors that are teaching on the TDN tour, as always. So people should definitely check out the calendar. Granted, the courses that are coming right away, they probably are full, but you never know. You may be able to sneak into one if you're down in the northern Florida, southern Georgia, eastern Alabama sector there. And if not, obviously, there's 4 months of the tour kicking off. So we're going to go all the way through the end of July all across the country. And now is definitely the time to look for those classes that are three, four, 6 weeks out.
Yeah, okay, good. That was good timing. I didn't realize that you were starting that soon. Your time just slips away from you. All of a sudden, you look down on the calendar, and it's boom, it's March 10th. And by the way, happy birthday to my mother. I love you to death, Mom. Today is her birthday, and I know she's my biggest fan. She's always listening. So happy birthday, Mom. I already told you that earlier, but I'll sing it to you later when you talk to my kids. Rob, we've got just about 3.5 minutes before we go to break. And that story I told you in the first segment happened a couple weeks ago. In fact, I'm supposed to be getting together with the range owner today who's going to be stopping by Armed American Radio Ranch after we get back from the Crossbreed Holster Studios. What? Boy, you probably have some questions, but how would you have handled that?
I'll tell you, I was excited when I found out. You know, normally, when you say, hey, Rob, I just want you to listen to the first segment or listen to the first few minutes and then I'm going to bring you in, it's usually about a self-defense event, right? So this was something that I thought you were just telling this story kind of anecdotally, like you were talking about Mr. Doesn't Pay His Bills. But then when you said, this is what I want to get Rob's opinion on, I was excited. I was down at a range, and this was not the range owner's fault, doesn't matter what range. I was at a range that had some overlapping a road that overlapped ranges on the left, ranges on the right. The ranges on the right had their area. The ranges on the left had their area to point their guns at. And there were some guys playing around with a hand-thrown trap out over a field on the right side. I was running a class down on the left side. And when I say playing around, I say that because they were clearly not students of the gun. They were clearly not paying a lot of attention to what they were doing. And you could just tell from 150 yards away from the parking lot from my class, you could tell that most of them weren't even comfortable with the guns, had no idea what they were doing, didn't even know what they were doing wrong. Drove out, went to my lunch break, came back from lunch break, and watched a guy point a gun kind of down the road. Well, I looked down the road. There's a curve in the road, and I had some of my students in the parking lot coming back from their lunch break. And it was close to whether or not he had flagged them. Now, it just so happened the range manager was taking my class. So I was going to just let him know, like, hey, you might want to go up there and check us out. I assumed, because of where these guys were positioned, the gun was unloaded. As I drove past them, the guy that had gone parallel with the road turned the gun back about 100 degrees, pointing the gun at my face, at my rental car, at my chest, swung back again, did it a second time, full swing, as I'm applying the brakes and ducking a little bit, takes the safety off very clearly and awkwardly because he wasn't used to handling that shotgun, and fired two rounds out of a semi-automatic shotgun at a bird that his buddy had just thrown. You can imagine that I decided I wasn't going to wait to talk to the range manager, put the car in reverse, rather assertively backed up, rather assertively stopped, rather assertively got out of the car. And it was very clear that the guy who was throwing the clay pigeons was the guy who was the guide. He was the guy. Clearly, these other people were his guests. And in all the body language, all the behavior, that's what was going on. So I walked up to him. I was relatively close, closer than I probably should have been for polite conversation.
All right, now I need to stop you there. That's a perfect place to stop. You were the music means we're taking a break. So yeah, let's take that over the break. Looking forward to that. Get your thoughts on what happened there. Finish that, and then talk about what happened to me and what I should have done or could have done. Love the learning experience here with Rob Pincus, one of the greatest teachers in the world. We'll be right back.
As people who carry a gun for protection, you and I both know if we're ever forced to pull that trigger, you know your life will change instantly. Liberal prosecutors, bleeding heart juries, they'd love to make examples of people like you and me. And that's why I rely on the legal and financial backup plan with my membership in the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They have a guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense, helping you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy, court and home with your family if you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. So if you go to defendfamily.com right now, you can download this free concealed carry guide from my friends at the USCCA. Now, the guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life. Simply visit defendfamilyoneword.com. Download your 100% free guide. Defendfamily.com. Again, that's defendfamily.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, the media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
Known as a bad-to-the-bone fighter with a rebel soul and a rock and roll attitude, the Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is destined to be a classic. Designer Ernest Emerson says the Roadhouse is one of his best designs ever. Just like a chopped Harley, it's low-slung and ready to roar. It feels like you've just dropped the clutch and it's ready to jump out of your hand. The Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is a must-have tactical folder. Visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
One of the few guns that fits comfortably in your pocket, the North American Arms Guardian 32 ACP is the perfect combination of small size, high quality, and great stopping power. Convenient, reliable, and very effective. North American Arms stands behind the Guardian 32 ACP with a lifetime warranty. With standard capacity of 6 plus 1 rounds in a pistol less than 4 inches in length, the Guardian ACP ships with two magazines and offers an optional 10-round capacity extended magazine. For more information, visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
Back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Yeah, welcome back to these Crossbreed Holster Studios. Let's get right back to it. Like you, I'm sitting here chomping at the bit waiting to hear the story of the finish of the story of Rob on the range with the two clowns errantly pointing their loaded shotguns in everybody's direction except where they should have been pointed, and that's in a safe direction. Rob, you got me, and I know Sean, we were captivated. So what happened? You approached the guys, you got a little closer. I'm assuming you got inside their safe spaces a little bit, right?
At the end of the day, you want to be cool. Like, I mean, I don't know, the guy wasn't being malicious. He was being ignorant. That's why I didn't even go up to him. I went up to the guy that was clearly, you know, his leader guy, the guy that he was trusting. Because if nothing else, I wanted to send a very clear message that what happened was wrong, and that if you bring people to a gun range that don't know how to use guns, you're responsible for what they do. You're responsible for setting this up well. And guess what? If you're not comfortable with that responsibility, good. There are plenty of people out there who are comfortable with that responsibility. They're called instructors, coaches, educators in the firearms community. Take them to those people, because if you don't want me showing up when your person that clearly is probably touching a gun for the first time points his gun at me and everybody else in my class, if you don't want me to come talk to you, then don't bring that guy to the ring. So don't take responsibility for it. So I walked up to the guy, and at this point, you know, I don't I hardly ever wear a uniform anymore. I'm a reserve deputy that does what I can to help out a small county sheriff's office here in Colorado. It's been a long time. But even before I was a full-time police officer, I heard the very articulate social commentator, whether you like his politics or not, he's an articulate guy, Henry Rollins, describe command presence as the LAPD pulling you over for an illegal right on red and acting like it's the invasion of Poland. And I found that to be inspiring when I was a police officer. And that's exactly how it should be, because you are there to take control. You need to. So I went into command presence mode, and I asked the guy, are you in charge? And he didn't really say anything. I said, are you the member here? Not even knowing if that's a thing there. But are you the member here? Are you the people? Are you the person that brought these people to the raid? And he said, yes. But then you are responsible for the fact that that guy just threatened me with lethal force, covered me twice, maybe pointed the gun at my head, maybe pointed the gun at my body, definitely pointed the gun at the rental car, and pointed the gun at half of my students standing in the parking lot down there as I pointed down to them. This guy did not. He was not comfortable with this conversation at all. And he said, and I said, so, I need you to get some control over this, make sure these guys know what they're doing. I need you to not be standing over here throwing clay pigeons 20 yards from these guys, or 5 yards from these guys, or 2 yards from these guys. I need you on top of them and let them throw clay pigeons for one another. Because if they screw up throwing a clay pigeon, nobody's going to die. But you need to be on top of these guys. And I turned around and walked away, knowing, you know, these guys weren't a threat. Turned around and walked away and got in my car and drove off, and then told the range manager, and he went back up. And, you know, 3 minutes later, they were off the range, and they were already packing up by the time the range manager got up there. Now, I get it. I mean, you can go Google Rob Pincus. You're going to find out that, you know, people have used colorful language to describe my behavior and my attitude and my assertiveness on the range. When it comes to life and death stuff, and especially as an educator in the firearms community, when you bring deaths to the range and you set them up to have a tragedy where they kill someone because of their own ignorance and your lack of control and your lack of taking the right steps to educate them how to use a gun safely, and then they live with that, I'm not at that point as an educator. I get it. I could have been horribly wounded by, you know, number eight birdshot through a window. Probably wouldn't have been killed. The guys that were 150 yards away, number eight, number nine birdshot, probably wouldn't even have been seriously injured. But it's the principle, because maybe that guy put a slug in. Because if he's handling a gun like that, I don't know what he just loaded into that shotgun. You know what I mean? So the idea that you don't take responsibility for your guests, the idea that you don't take responsibility for the other people in your environment, the messages you're sending, the threats that you present, that's what I thought of instantly when you told that story about the guy with the AR pistol. Even if he only presented that threat to his own face, what about the other people that showed up there that day? What about the business owner? What about the rest of the firearms community that suffers because of his lack of responsibility, his lack of common sense, and his lack of basic safety protocol concepts? People need to be accountable for their actions when those actions could affect others. And that's my policy if I'm on the range, whether I'm an instructor, a guest, or driving by.
You know, great advice. And in the situation I found myself in with my wife, our 30 minutes, we had had enough at that point in time when I saw what I saw. There were a few other people on the range, 4 or 5 stalls down. I was able to take care of the situation after I left. I did not confront the gun owner at that point in time. We were both back from the stall when I noticed it, when I first noticed it, my wife was still in the stall. She came back to me after she finished her magazine. And I can only assume that I had had a loaded AR-15 pistol pointed at me from 6 inches away throughout that entire 30-minute process when I witnessed what I witnessed as I stepped back. Now, good advice or bad advice? I was armed. I was angry. I elected not to make a confrontation right there on the spot, and elected to walk out and talk to management. Probably, was that a smart thing to do?
Probably 1,000% the right thing to do. You know, there's a difference between a guy with an AR pistol at the indoor range who isn't handling it well, and he's controlling himself, and he's not a guest, and these would-be trap shooters who showed up for their first day ever touching a gun with some guy they probably thought was an expert and was probably treating the whole situation very casually, and they were therefore being casual. And what I wanted to do was take that up a notch and make sure they knew it wasn't a casual situation and needed to take it more seriously. I could have been completely wrong. I could have misread that. My situational awareness, my body language observations, my observations that had occurred 45 minutes before and as I was driving by that time could have been way off, And that situation could have been very, very different. So, you know, this is the do as I say, not as I do moment of the show. The right thing to do, yeah, go tell the range manager. But, you know, if you're the guy that travels the world running ranges and educating people about firearm safety, maybe you don't wait for the range manager to address it.
Right.
And take that opportunity when you don't think you're going to create an escalated risk of violence, and you actually confront the guy. And there's a time and a place for everybody to potentially make that confrontation. There's a time and a place for everybody, certainly myself included. There are many times where I've seen poor handling on the gun range down at Ancient City, right?
Right.
I mean, there's a long line of ranges down there, and I'm teaching down on one end, and I can look down that line. An hour won't go by where I don't see something that I might tell someone about. There's a range I teach at up in Massachusetts. The same thing. There's a rifle range that's not quite 180 degrees. It's a little bit behind the pistol bay. So when we're loading at the pistol bay tables, every once in a while we'll have somebody uncase a rifle, and the muzzle might come within 10, 15 degrees of us. And I've brought that to the attention of the range owner several times. But it never has been to the point where I've had to get in my car, drive 50 yards down, and say, hey, guys, knock it off. So there's a time and a place for the direct confrontation, time and a place for the let the management handle it.
Lest you think, Rob, is something that Rob – let me put it this way. This is something Rob takes very seriously, and I'm man enough to admit this on my radio program to you right now. Rob, in your class a couple years back at that range, at the Ancient City shooting range, I was in the middle of doing a figure-eight drill with you with more targets than I've ever seen set up in a figure-eight that I've ever done before. When I was – oh, I don't know, you made one or two calls out – at which point I began firing, and then I have to just tell you, I continued to sweep, searching for my next target, at which point you began approaching, now albeit with a camera, that was, you know, with a video camera, as you came after me, yelling at me to stop the drill. Now, there was nothing unsafe that I was doing on the range, as everything was within the direction of the range, everything was in a safe. Now, the problem I had, the problem that you had, was what? That I swept those targets. And that's part of the lesson that you're teaching, correct?
Well, yeah, I think my guess is you probably were at full extension. And
I was.
Your gun was, yeah, so your gun wasn't in the what we consider a ready position. Your gun was
correct.
In a shooting position. And your head was probably turned away from the gun left or right. And that's the moment where you lose track of where the gun's pointed. And if you're being very aggressive, because you know how to search and assess, you know how to scan the environment,
right.
If you're doing that aggressively in something as distracting as a figure eight drill, that's the edge of the problem. And so as the instructor, it's my job to make sure everything comes to a halt before we cross that, you know, that event horizon of where something does become dangerous. And that's
because we react as we train in the real world. When I come back from the break, I'm actually going to play some audio for you of some of the things that Rob is teaching and why what I just set up for you is so vital and so important in real life. Not just on the range. We'll be right back with Rob Pincus.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit crossbreedholsters.com today.
I'm just as good as these guys. When will I get my chance to prove it?
Your chance is now. American Marksman is a nationwide series of target shooting competitions designed to give you your big break. Think you've got what it takes to take home $50,000? Visit ammarksman.com to register today. That's ammarksman.com. American Marksman. Are you the one?
Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, the media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you. Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
We need every American to take action against President Obama's next executive order by calling the number on your screen. President Obama is exercising another executive power grab, and this assault will be against your Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. The Obama administration was unable to impose gun restrictions and confiscation through the legislative process, so now he's trying to use executive orders to go around Congress and the Constitution. Obama must be stopped now. If Obama follows through with his executive fiat now, it will lead to the loss of our Second Amendment rights by the time he leaves office. We need you to call 800-782-8685 or go to saf.org/stopobama if you believe we must stop Obama's lawless actions. Second Amendment Foundation is going to stand up to Obama, but we need you to call now and give us your opinion. Please call 1-800-782-8685 or go to saf.org/stopobama. If enough Americans stand up, we will amplify your voice and stop Obama from another assault on our Constitution.
And now your host, Mark Walters.
You know, I go back to that day I got yelled at on the range as I failed to bring my gun back into a ready position and rather swept the seven or eight targets seeking my next target out without retracting my gun into the ready position. And the reason I tell that story is because we learn from these. This is how we educate ourselves. This is how I learned. Now, it's a high-stress situation. You're moving quickly. There are other people there watching you. The instructors are there. You're hearing commands. You're focusing and concentrating on what you're doing. And you have to know how to do these things right, because in the real world, you're going to react how you train. Ask any law enforcement. Ask anybody in the military, past or present. You will default to your level of training. It's that simple. Active shooter situations, active killer situations, fighting back. Rob did a piece that ran on the Blaze TV back on March 2nd. Rob, if it's okay, I want to play this 2 minute and 31 second clip and let you educate us with some commentary when we come back. Fair enough?
Let's do it. I think it's important. And let's remember that part of that not running around with a gun at full extension when you're not actually shooting relates directly to an active shooter situation as well, because you don't want to be the guy running around with your gun at extension when the police do show up. So now let's talk about what we talked about on the Blaze. I think it's great.
Here we go.
If they're interested in being in a public space, having that gun in the holster, and being able to do something in a typical spree killer, active shooter, mass killing event, they better expand those skill sets beyond the foundation really quick. We're going to work on being able to control the bullets at further distances, being more precise about hitting our target. Even the way we move, getting the gun and getting into a position, thinking about where that bullet's going to travel after it goes through the bad guy, if we miss the bad guy, what's between us and the bad guy.
10! And it's not so much about the physical aspects of it. It's about the psychological aspects.
Number of vehicles you have.
How are you processing information? What are the things that you need to be thinking of? How am I fighting through crowds? When I do get there, what happens if I, you know, experience a malfunction? And it allows people to really see that stuff come into play.
These are the kinds of drills you want to do for active shooter preparation. They challenge your brain. You have to process information. Move, 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 move.
We had probably about three or four very experienced firearms users on the range yesterday. And at some point in time throughout the training, we all made a mistake.
Don't backpedal. Turn your hips. Stop.
Some mistake. And that's in a controlled environment that's very sterile, under safety precautions. And still, there's enough realism and stress there to make people go, man, I did not operate the way that I thought I would operate.
That kind of processing only comes out of these drills. That's why they're so important. Remember, you have a responsibility not just to figure out who the bad guy is, but to find a shooting solution so that you can hit the bad guy without hitting other people. Right? So that's what we're doing here with these targets, changing the position, changing the numbers that you're shooting at.
Meeting that responsibility is incredibly important. We've got the right. You know, so one of the things we talk about is, well, the anti-gunners would say, people aren't well trained enough, so they shouldn't have a gun. We should make it harder to get the gun. That's not an option in the United States of America. I think the impetus comes on to the firearms community. It comes on to the shooting community, right? We have to be the ones that take responsibility for the training, not just as individuals, but as a community. So we have a right to keep and bear arms. We as a community have a responsibility to do that responsibly and get the training we need.
That's called fighting back. That's very powerful video, very powerful stuff. Rob, let me just play the theater of the mind. What you were hearing there and what you were seeing, what you missed was, as you heard the audio, was individuals on a range shooting at multiple targets on command. And those targets, Rob, were set up much like the figure eight, where you throw four, five, six, seven different types of numbers or symbols onto those targets and call those commands out as that individual is moving up and down the line individually, not as a group. Take it from there on how important this stuff is.
Yeah, so the person you heard talking that wasn't me was Aaron Jannetty. He's one of my partners. I'm one of the owners of Endeavor Defense and Fitness, CrossFit Gym, and the Krav Maga Personal Defense Training Center just outside of Columbus, Ohio. And they had an opportunity to get in front of some cameras for the Blaze, I don't know, like 4 or 5 months ago now. And what they've done is, if people have listened to the show, they've heard me talk about our school attacker response course. Well, one of the evolutions of the school attacker response course that we talked about for unarmed defense inside of school systems after Sandy Hook, and we launched that program. Well, Aaron, my other partner, Rob McKeeman, were one of the first instructors inside of that program. And they've been teaching that program and evolving it. They hooked up with Ryan Hoover, who's another great instructor, great educator. He's the founder of Fit to Fight. He's also a Krav guy. And they launched and evolved a program for active shooter response, incorporating a lot of the things we teach at IC training, a lot of the principles of striking and using your body weight, using maximizing your potential natural targets on the bad guy, using your natural tools that come out of the Krav Maga systems, and created a system that teaches people, regular people, everyday people, whether you have a gun or not, what you should do if you find yourself caught in a spree-killing situation. So the Blaze came in, did a like a 4 or 5 minute piece, maybe less than that, and he got like 16 million views in the first 30 days. So the Blaze's program, for the record, said, wow, people are more interested in this than we thought. We knew they'd be interested, but this is crazy. So they reached out to Aaron and said, hey, we want to do a full 30-minute program focusing on what it is you people teach. So, you know, obviously brought Ryan in, brought me in. So these guys taped with me in Texas, in Colorado, and at the gym in Ohio, as well as some interview stuff. They worked with Ryan, his location in northern Ohio. They worked with Aaron and Rob at the facility at the gym, and put together an amazing documentary on how we teach active shooter response and why we teach it, both on the unarmed side and the armed side. Obviously, I focused most on the armed side. That's what I do. And what you heard there was how we discuss and talk about people who want to go beyond the basics, want to move into the situation where they really think, not just as the average concealed carry guy or the average home defense guy, they would be comfortable and confident with the idea that they have the skills to, that they could apply the skills to stop a spree killing event in a public space, which I don't think the average CCW person is prepared to do by any stretch. They may think they are. I don't think they are. And it's the kind of training that was shown in that documentary that we would do to put somebody in a position where they really have thought through the process of what they need to be able to do and maybe be able to read that situation, as you heard me talk about, where they realize pulling my gun out right now is a bad idea. fighting my way through the crowd, getting into a position where I should pull my gun out. If I can't escape, I can't get my family away, not to be a hero. If confrontation is inevitable, there's a difference between pulling your gun out and shooting 40 yards across the Walmart checkout area full of people and moving in a sound way through the crowd with your gun still in the holster, with your hand on the gun, getting yourself to a position where, yes, now it's time to pull the gun out, stop the bad guy, and not be the guy that I was afraid you were training to be, the guy flagging the gun around, waving it around with his head in two different directions and his gun in four different directions at once, looking like a random spree killer and getting shot by the cops or getting shot by another good guy. So that's the kind of stuff we work on, is position, thought process, kind of doing a incredibly fast situational awareness assessment for what are my skills, what am I capable of, how do I get myself in a position where I can utilize my skills and not just be victim, nor let my family and other people in this environment where we're trapped continue to be victims while I sit in a corner, so to speak, or start launching bullets through a crowd that I have no reasonable expectation of doing what they're supposed to do and maybe making things worse.
Very powerful stuff. Rob Pincus from ICE and Personal Defense Network. Rob, we've got 20 seconds. Where can people go watch the video they just heard and other stuff like it?
Oh, they can check out my Facebook, Rob Pincus Pro, Facebook.com, Rob Pincus Pro, or / Rob Pincus. They can see some of the video clips. But go to the Blaze. It's like $2, or maybe there's a free trial. Watch the whole 30 minutes. It's worth it. Share it with people that maybe haven't thought about protecting themselves. And as always, PersonalDefenseNetwork.com for the training tour schedule and all the free video and articles on training topics you can stand.
All right, great stuff. Rob Pincus, thank you very much for being here. Rob, we'll talk with you off air a little bit about possibly putting together that Florida show that we should have had together last week. I'll be talking with you in just a few minutes on that. I want to thank you for everything that you do. The one thing that I think was most important that I took away from that, having trained with you in the past, is decision-making. The decision-making, that process is absolutely critical. Armed American Radio's Daily Defense will continue tomorrow. Thanks for being here today in the Crossbreed Holster Studios with me and learning with us from Rob Pincus. Remember, carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave that cave without that club. And remember, never let there be a gun-free zone wherever you happen to be. We'll see you tomorrow.
Known as a bad-to-the-bone fighter with a rebel soul and a rock and roll attitude, the Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is destined to be a classic. Designer Ernest Emerson says the Roadhouse is one of his best designs ever. Just like a chopped Harley, it's low-slung and ready to roar. It feels like you've just dropped the clutch and it's ready to jump out of your hand. The Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is a must-have tactical folder. Visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
Hey, what's up? It's AAR Shanto here. Every day you hear the passion that we have for freedoms here in America. I also have other passions, and every week you can check out what that passion is. I've started a new web series. Yes, believe it or not, with all the other things that I have going on, I went and did it. I started a web series, and I think you're going to like it. If you want to see one of my hobbies, all you got to do is check out irfnews.com. That's irfnews.com.
I don't think I need to tell you this, but I'm going to anyway. When it comes to concealed carry, a smart shooter is a prepared shooter. And going to the range and shooting at a target just isn't enough. While training is important, you need something more. And that's why 135,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry magazine. To pick up where training at the range leaves off, expect life-saving information on every page, every issue. Whether it's unbiased gun and gear reviews or real stories of self-defense from real people who carry concealed every day. You'll stay up to date on the latest training drills and laws regarding your right to carry your firearm. And for a limited time, when you start your subscription, you'll automatically be entered to win one of four brand new guns. But this won't last long. So go to the number one of the number four guns.com right now to begin your subscription and claim your chance to win your dream gun. That's one of four guns.com.